إن الحمد لله نحمده أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. After I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send and peace and blessing on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, today we continue our discussion concerning the chapter of Salah, the book of the prayer. And we here dealing with the sharh of Bulugh al-Maram, the explanation for the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of objective, of the objective. And we had discussed approximately about 10 hadith from this chapter, which is chapter number 7. Chapter number 7 concerning the description of the prayer. And last class we had covered from hadith number 210 until approximately hadith number 220. And inshallah today we'll be dealing with the same chapter starting from hadith number 221, and this is page 102. And this constitute the class number 20, number 21. This is the class, will be the class number 21 inshallah in this book. Hadith Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأتم الفاتحة فاقرأوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإنها إحدى آياتها. رواه الدارقطني. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأتم الفاتحة فاقرأوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإنها إحدى آياتها. رواه الدارقطني وصوب وقفه. حديث نمبر 221 narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you recite Surat Al-Fatiha, recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for it is one of its ayah, one of its verses. This hadith has been collected by Ad-Darqutni and Imam Al-Bayhaqi, and this hadith is mawquf, and the hadith is authentic, and Sheikh Al-Albani hafizahullah, he said the hadith is authentic regardless for the marfu' as a mawquf, that both of them in a solid narration. And we had mentioned about 3 to 4 ahadith concerning recitation of al-basmala. Al-basmala means the saying of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The saying of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this we call it the basmala. We understood from this hadith as well as all the ahadith before in the same chapter that the necessity of reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before we say the Fatiha. The only discussion or the only disagreement was concerning should we recite it out loud or softly. Okay, and we understood that for the imam to recite it softly, so whenever he start to recite out loud, that he will start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this will explain all the hadith before, like hadith Anas when he said that he made the salah after Abu Bakr and Umar, and they used to recite or started the recitation with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So this doesn't negate that the saying of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so Anas when he told us that he pray behind Abu Bakr and he pray behind Umar, and he prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to recite the recitation with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That means when they start to read loudly, okay, they will start with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But this doesn't negate the fact that the Imam will say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim first, but he didn't say it with a voice that those who behind him, they will hear him. Okay, so we understand the necessity, especially according to this hadith, the necessity of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse from the Fatiha. And reciting al-Fatiha is a must in the Salah. So this hadith indicates this fact, that if you praying, if you recite the Fatiha, recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because the saying of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one verse from the Surah of Al-Fatiha. The next hadith, which hadith number 222, وعنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فرغ من قراءة أم القرآن رفع صوته وقال آمين. رواه الدارقطني وحسنه والحاكم وصححه ولأبي داود والترمذي من حديث وائل بن حجر نحوه. That this hadith also reported by Abu Huraira, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to finish reciting Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Fatiha, he will raise his voice with the saying of Ameen. Okay. This hadith is reported by Ad-Darqutni with a Hassan Isnad. The hadith is sahih لغيره also, that means authentic, and its authenticity came as a result of a support with other hadith. And the hadith also in Al-Bayhaqi, in the collection of Imam Al-Bayhaqi. The hadith is reported by the same narrator, which is Abu Huraira, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا فرغ, فا فرغ means when he finish. من قراءة أم القرآن. So the other name for Al-Fatiha is Umm Al-Quran, means mother. Umm Al-Quran, the mother of the Quran. And we said that mother does not mean a mother who gave a birth, but a thing which carries the meaning of everything. You call it a mother, okay? So the whole Quran, the whole meaning of the Quran, it comes in Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha have the summary of the whole Quran. As a result of this, we call it the mother of the book, okay? So also the hadith said رَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ. الرَّفْعِ that means to raise the voice. So indicate in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his voice. He raised his voice with what? With the saying of Ameen. And the word Ameen to come after the saying of Waladdalin. And Ameen is a phrase which means, O Allah, answer the prayer. Okay? O Allah, istajib. That means, answer this prayer. Because in the Fatiha, he say, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. O Allah, don't be like those people that you angry with them, that you curse them. So all this Fatiha has this dua, this supplication. So after this he's saying what? He's saying Ameen, that means, O Allah, please answer this supplication. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his sunnah, he used to raise his voice with the saying of Ameen. We see in other narration came in the collection of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, which relates about the ta'meen for the ma'mumeen. Because this hadith only talking about the Imam, which used to be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there is other hadith came concerning the Ma'mumin, the followers. We see one in Bukhari and Muslim, reported also by Abu Hurairah. إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامِ فَأَمِّنُوا, that when the Imam make ta'meen, you also make ta'meen. فَإِنَّ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينَهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The one who's his ta'meen, his saying of Ameen, concise with the ta'meen of Malaika, Allah will forgive his sins. So when you say Ameen, the Imam, when he say Ameen, the Malaika also answering this and saying what? Ameen. So you in the earth saying Ameen, and the Malaika in the heaven saying Ameen. And if it happened that when you saying Ameen is happened to be the same time that the Malaika saying, this will be a forgiveness for your sin. And for us to exercise and to try our best, how we know this? By the saying of Rasulullah saying, when the Imam say Ameen, you say what? Ameen. So you don't go before the Imam and say Ameen. Okay? And we should notice that when, because the Imam is the one who reciting the Quran, so we give him a chance to finish his recitation and also to take, to inhale or to breathe, to start to say Ameen. So when the Imam starts say Ameen, now we start saying with him Ameen. But sometimes you find the Imam saying غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, and he did not even finish this, and he found the whole congregation Ameen while he still did not finish even ولا الضالين. This is not right. Okay, you wait for the Imam to finish the saying of Walad Dalin and give him a chance to take, to inhale and to start to say. When you hear A, this is the elongation of the Aleph, now you start to say Ameen with the Imam. Okay? And in another narration say, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمين. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَقُولُوا آمين. When the Imam say, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Okay, the first narration say, إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُهُ. When the Imam say, آمين, you make the آمين. Okay. The other narration saying, when he say, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, you say, آمين. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَقُولُ آمِينَ. For sure the Malaika say also آمين. And the Imam is saying آمين. And whosoever his تأمين, his saying of آمين, agrees or coincides with the تأمين of the Malaika, comes to be in the same time, the same moment, غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, his past sin will be what? Will be forgiven. Okay?
Malaika is an angel?
Yes, Malaika. It's a plural. The singular is Malak. So Al Malaika, the angels. The next hadith inshallah, which hadith number 223, page 103, وعن عبد الله ابن ابي اوفى رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اني لا استطيع ان اخذ من القرآن شيئا فعلمني ما يجزئني منه. فقال قل سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. This hadith is in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Sunan al-Imam Ahmad, and in the collection of Abu Dawood and Nisa'i, and the hadith is authentic and reported by Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa that Iman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm not able to memorize anything from the Quran, so teach me something which can be sufficient or to take place of recitation of the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him to say Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Okay. So this will replace the recitation of the Quran. And this for a person who could not. We understand that Salah is not valid if a person doesn't recite Fatiha. Okay. So the possibility, as some of the scholars understood this hadith, that this person just took shahada. Close the door, baby. That this person just took shahada, and the salah was about to establish, and it was no time for him to learn something from the Quran. And this is the understanding, as I said, of some of the scholars. Because a person who able to memorize these phrases, he's able to recite the Fatiha or to learn the Fatiha. It may be take him a week, take him a month, but recitation of the Fatiha is part of the Salah. Okay? But But let's imagine that a person has no means in a week, in a month, in a year to recite the Fatiha for whatever, if it's a handicap or whatever, that these phrases will be sufficient for him. If a person doesn't talk, period, this is a different case, okay? If a person could not speak, this is a different case. Because this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't give him the ability to speak. So, now the recitation is not a must in him, because he don't have the facility or the faculty to use, okay, to be able to speak, to recite the Fatiha. He will say whatever he understands, that he can understand it by heart, say it by heart or in his mind, whatever means available, okay? But this hadith may apply to a person just took shahada and he's going to join the salah, okay? He can say these phrases until he will learn the Fatiha, and after this will, okay? The next hadith حديث 224 وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي بنا فيقرأ في الظهر والعصر في الركعتين الأوليين بفاتحة الكتاب وسورتين ويسمعنا الآية أحيانا ويطول الرقعة الأولى ويقرأ في الأخريين بفاتحة الكتاب متفق عليه. So this hadith is agreed upon, reported by Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, that Abu Qatada is telling us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to recite or lead us in Salat al-Zuhr and Salat al-Asr in the first two raqat with Fatihat al-Kitab wa Suratayn. Wa yusmi'na al-aya ahyanan, and we hear the verse sometimes. Wa yutawwil al-raqat al-ula. So what is new in this hadith as additional for description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Number one, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Fatiha and a surah in the first two raqat, which is something common that we read about it before. What is new here is that he used to recite some of the verses with a loud voice sometimes in Salat al-Dhuhr, in Salat al-Asr. As example, if the Imam in Salat al-Zuhr and he reading silent, okay, so in the middle of the surah he will say, as example, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, okay? So the Sahaba behind him, they will understand that he is reciting Surah al-Shams, okay? Or as example, he would say, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. He didn't start from what duha. He start what silent. Okay, softly. And he will come in the middle of the surah and will say one verse loud. So the Sahaba will know that he reciting Surah al-Duha as example, okay? So this is the meaning that we used to hear the verse sometimes. But he didn't recite the whole Fatiha and the whole surah out loud in Zuhr or in Asr. But a verse, sometimes he used to do this. So this shows the permissibility of the Imam saying a verse of the Surah after the Fatiha out loud for the congregation to hear, to know what Surah he is reciting. Okay. What else we learn from this Hadith? That the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam elongating the first rak'at than the second rak'at. Okay? And why is this? This to give a chance to people who's late to catch the first rak'at. So you will get the full reward of making the Salah with Jama'ah. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned, as well as the Sahaba used to be concerned about catching the Salah in the first rak'at. So catching the Salah in the second rak'at is not like catching the Salah in the first. So the mannerism of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to elongate the first rak'ah more than the second rak'ah, and this will give a chance for a person who is making wudu or coming late or whatever to catch the Salah in the first rak'ah. Number three, that he used to recite the Fatiha in the third and the fourth rak'ah. Okay? This was new in this Hadith. The next Hadith, Hadith number 225, page 104, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنا نحذر قيام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الظهر والعصر فحذرنا قيامه في الركعتين الأوليين من الظهر قدر ألف لام ميم تنزيل السجدة، وفي الأخريين قدر النصف من ذلك، وفي الأوليين من العصر على قدر الأخريين من الظهر والأخريين على النصف من ذلك. رواه مسلم. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim and reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, that we used to estimate the length of the standing position of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Zuhr and the Asr prayer, and we estimated that he stood in the first two rak'ah of the Zuhr prayer as long as it takes to recite Alif Lam Mim Tanzil Surah Al-Sajda, Surah number 32. Okay? And in the last two rak'ah, half the time of that in the first two rak'ah of the Asr. He used to stand as long as the last two of the Zuhr, and in the last two rak'ah of the Asr used to be of about half time of the first two rak'ah. That means in general that the Salat al-Zuhr used to be longer than Salat al-Asr. And what he used to take in the first two rak'at of the Zuhr, half of this will be for the second two rak'at of Zuhr. And what he used the time, the estimation that he used to stand in the second two rak'at of the Zuhr will be almost what he used to stand in the first two rak'at of the Asr. Give example. Surah, so approximately like 30 verses. So when he used to recite in Salat al-Zuhr, he would recite Surah al-Sajda, which approximately about 30 verses. for the first rak'ah and 30 verses for the second rak'ah. Now when he go to the third rak'ah in the dhuhr, he will recite Fatiha and about 15 verses. So also from this hadith we learn the permissibility of reciting surah after the third and the fourth rak'ah in dhuhr. Okay, pay attention, because some people they think that you could not recite Quran in the third or the fourth rak'ah in dhuhr or asr, only Fatiha. It is permissible only to recite Fatiha in the third and the fourth rak'ah of dhuhr as well as asr. But it is allowable, okay, that you recite surah in the third and the fourth rak'ah of dhuhr, and also you can recite in the third and the fourth rak'ah of asr after Fatiha. So the basic that you have to recite Fatiha in all your rak'ah, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, first rak'ah, last rak'ah, whenever you pray you have to recite Fatiha. The first two rak'ah you recite after Fatiha chapter from the Quran, even if it's something like Qul Huwallahu Ahad. The third and the fourth rak'ah you don't have to, but if you wish to do so it is permissible to do, and we understood this from this hadith, which is hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic. Also we learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that salat al-zuhr to be longer than salat al-asr, and that the first two rak'at of the zuhr will be longer than the second rak'at of zuhr, that the first and the second of dhuhr will be longer than third and fourth in dhuhr. Same thing will apply for asr. The first and the second rak'ah will be longer than the third and the fourth. And the dhuhr compared to the asr, recitation in the dhuhr will be longer than recitation of asr. Okay? Hadith number 226. وعن سليمان ابن يسار قال كان فلان يطيل الأوليين من الظهر ويخفف العصر ويقرأ في المغرب بقصار المفصل وفي العشاء بوسطه وفي الصبح بطواله. فقال أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه ما صليت وراء أحد أشبه صلاة برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذا. أخرجه النسائي. This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam النسائي, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith reported by Sulaiman ibn Yasar, and he described this man who used to lead them in the salah, and he used to elongate the first two rak'at in the dhuhr, and he used to make it shorter in the asr, and he used to recite in the maghrib from the short of al-mufassal, and in al-isha with the middle, and in the subh with the longest. And Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the prayer of this man who's leading you is similar to the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, so this describing also the length of the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وعن جبير ابن مطعم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في المغرب بالطور. متفق عليه. This hadith also telling us about recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith is authentic, reported by Jubair that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites Surah At-Tur in Salat Al-Maghrib. Surah number 52, okay? And hadith number 228 reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في صلاة الفجر يوم الجمعة ألف لام ميم تنزيل السجدة وهل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر. All these things is still describing the way each one of the Sahaba, he giving us some report about how is the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So one of them, he used to tell us, was the Prophet ﷺ used to be quiet after he entered the prayer. One of them, he telling us how his salah used to be, how much he used to recite. And with the collection of all this narration will give us a general picture or a general idea how the salah of the Prophet ﷺ used to be. And this also to show us how the Sahaba, may Allah please with them, used to be concerned of relating this information to us. And this is to let us know that there is no room in Al-Islam for innovation or exercising your mind, because everything been reported to us, okay? Everything been given to us, and the Sahaba was so concerned about imitating the Prophet as well as this is the information concerning how the Prophet ﷺ used to do things. This hadith is describing the prayer, the morning prayer of Rasulullah ﷺ in Yawm al-Jum'ah. Okay? And that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite Surah Ad-Dahr, Surah Al-Sajda, and called Surah Al-Sajda because there is a prostration in it. That when you go to reach it, this phrase or this verse, you're supposed to prostrate. The Imam will prostrate and the Ma'mumin behind him, they will prostrate, and after this they will get up and continue reciting the surah, okay, without going in ruku'ah, okay? So the Imam is standing, and when he comes to the verse, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا سَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدُ رَبِّهِمْ وَخَرُّوا. When they come to this verse, verily those who believe in our verses, that when they hear it been recited, they will fall in prostration and glorify the name of their Lord. So the Imam will say Allahu Akbar and will go down on the floor in prostration, okay? And after this, when he, one time, and after this he will get up again, and he don't start to recite Fatiha. He will continue to tajafa junubum an al-madaja, like continuing the surah. And when he finishes the surah, he will go for ruku'ah, okay? Surah number 32, okay? And he used to also recite Surah Al-Insan or Surah Al-Dahr, Surah number 76. Okay? And these two surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite them in the morning prayer of Salat Al-Fajr in Yawm Al-Jum'ah. Like he used to recite sometimes in the khutbah, Surah Qaf. And these some of the surahs that remind the Muslims about their originality and how they've been created, and reminds them about the day of judgment and about the reward and all these things. It's very beautiful surah, as all the Quran. It has a lot of reminder for the Muslims, and this one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Hadith number 229 in page number 106. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فما مرت به آية رحمة آية رحمة إلا وقف عندها يسأل، ولا آية عذاب إلا تعوذ منها. أخرجه الخمسة. This hadith which is reported by Huzaifa رضي الله عنه, this hadith in the collection of Imam At-Tirmidhi and in the collection of Sunan Abu Dawood and Nisa'i and in Ibn Majah and Ahmad. The hadith is authentic, and that this Sahabi, which Huzaifa, may Allah be pleased with him, telling us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was reciting the Quran, this is another description. Although that this hadith relating to Salat al-Layl, Qiyam al-Layl, this Sahabi was making Salah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to a verse in the surah relating to Jannah, he will say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha, Allahumma, and he will say, oh Allah, give me Jannah, oh Allah, give me the pleasure of Jannah, and he will ask Allah about Jannah and the reward of Jannah. And if he reciting the Quran, it comes a verse talking about hellfire, he will say, in the meaning, oh Allah, I seek protection from hellfire, oh Allah, keep hellfire from me, like this. So that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only standing to recite Quran, okay, running the verses, okay, but he was trying to understand the meaning of the verses, and he tried to implement and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever the verses related to. This is Hudhaifa. Say, I pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I noticed that whenever he came to a verse which spoke of mercy, he stopped and made supplication. And whenever he came to a verse which spoke of punishment, he stopped and sought refuge in Allah against it. Okay? And this is the manner that it should be with the Muslim when he recites the Quran, in the optional prayer, especially during the night prayer, okay, that you see what is the Quran saying and you beg Allah of whatever that the Quran is talking about. If it's something good, you call asking Allah from that good, and if it's something bad, you will stop, okay, and you ask Allah to protect you from this evil, and after this you continue your recitation as usual. Hadith number 230. I hope you excuse me, I'm not feeling good. I'm trying to make up the class, so I'm not feeling good. I got the flu, so be patient with me, inshallah. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإني نهيت أن أقرأ القرآن راكعا أو ساجدا. فأما الركوع فعظموا فيه الرب, وأما السجود فاجتهدوا في الدعاء فقمن أن يستجاب لكم. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He's saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have been prohibited to recite the Quran while I am in the ruku' position, while I am in bound position or prostration. Okay? So the recitation of the Quran only for the standing up position. Okay? Reciting the Fatiha or reciting something after the Fatiha is supposed to be in the standing position only in the beginning, not after ruku'ah. Okay, in the ruku'ah, the bound and the sujood, which is the prostration, is forbidden. Okay, again, this is the point that we're talking about. Some people using logic say, so what's wrong? You understand, the Quran is the word of Allah and is something good, and the salah is supposed to be something to bring you closer to Allah, so I'm going to say qul huwa Allahu ahad while I'm making ruku'ah. He says wrong, you could not do this. Okay, you could not do this. You could not do this because Rasulullah did not teach us to do this. But the Quran is something good. Yes, the Quran is something good, but this is not the right place, neither the right time. And the Prophet saying that I've been forbid. So what is supposed to be done in the ruku' and the sujood? This one position is for the ta'zeem, greatness, to honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while you are in position of ruku', bound down, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say subhana rabbi al-azim, glory be to Allah, okay, the most great one. Okay, this is called ta'zeem, the greatness of Allah, to utter the greatness of Allah and attribute the greatness of Allah to him. This is what is the ruku' for. And the prostration, okay, that is state. And while you are in sujood, be sincere in your supplication, for it is fitting that your supplication will be answered during this position, because this is the most closer position that the slave of Allah can come to Allah, because it takes all kind of humiliation. It takes you, your body, your face, your nose, everything, you put it down on the ground, and you don't do this for anyone except Allah. You see, so this shows the complete submission of a human being. He's putting his toes, his knees, his hand, his nose, his face down on the ground for Allah. You see, and this is the more that you humble yourself to Allah, the more that you get closer to Allah. Therefore, the sujood, it became the closer position that the slave of Allah can come closer to Allah. Therefore, Allah gave the reward to be a position that supplication very, very have very good chance to be answered during this position. Okay, it takes a lot of things and